Okay, Jeff, Tom, Government Affairs Report.
Shout. Ah, there we go. Okay, so I just wanted to follow up with one brief comment. If you do run into a situation where your prescribing physician does think that you are a viable candidate and your insurer, either public or private, is denying you, obviously your first call should be to Vanda. But if you want, you can also call us to do some advocacy, because that's one of the things this organization should be trying to do for its members. I mean, it doesn't, you know, we can't say that you are a good candidate or not, but we can certainly say this is a, you know, excellent drug for a particular disorder, and we can certainly go to insurance companies and do our best. So certainly feel free if it's your desire to, you know, call this organization for assistance in that area too. So, okay. I'm going to do a few different things tonight. I'm going to go over what we've been doing this year a little bit, governmental affairs-wise. I'm going to go over a couple of things for some federal legislation, a couple pieces of federal legislation, and then I'm going to go over the resolutions that we had last year and follow up on some of those. So, this week was our, I don't know what number it is, but it was our Capitol Day, I'm thrilled to say. I'm also thrilled to say that the day after Capitol Day, and Steve Fort, you brought it up, and I can at least say I did it several hours before you brought it up. I did update the Governmental Affairs Report. It should have been done long ago, but it's now updated, so that's good. And the Capitol Day was just wonderful. I know I'm going to forget some people. I'll try to list them all. Diane Deutsch, Debbie Cordero, Deborah Thompson, Gigi DeMarie was supposed to be in it, but unfortunately she is ill in the hospital, and we wish her the best. Bill Gillespie, Frank Welty, Dirk Neihardt, Charles Navarrete, Teddy Joy Remhill. Did I get everybody done? Jane Cardis. Yes, of course. How could I forget Jane? I knew I'd forget somebody. They did an outstanding job. everybody saw a whole boatload of folks. And I'm going to go over the issues that we, the Governmental Affairs Committee decided, plus one that Donna and I added, were our four major issues for the year. The first one is AB 1703. That is a bill by Assemblymember Isidore Hall from Southern California. Hopefully we can get him at our next convention. It is our bill, and it would add in reading and completion of documents as a service for in-home supportive services recipients that have a disability that precludes them from, you know, reading and filling out documents. This is something that should have been in the program since it started, but it isn't. And we've had a really good coalition with the United Domestic Workers, who asked if they could co-sponsor the bill. We have complete control over the language, but they've gone around with this to members' offices and written letters. We've had other groups that have come in as well in support of the bill, including NFB. And so we've had a lot of support. We are taking some amendments that the committee has requested to keep Appropriations Committee. We already passed our first committee, but we've taken amendments to make sure that the bill's costs are kept down. And we are confident. Teddy Joy had a good meeting the other day with Mr. Gatto, the chair of Appropriations, and another of his constituents, our erstwhile president, is going to beat on his door next week, I think, and make sure that we continue to get his support. So we think we're going to get it through the assembly. And then we're going to have a meeting with the governor's office, and hopefully, unlike Mr. Schwarzenegger, hopefully we can convince Mr. Brown to pass this bill. Yes. So, the second issue is AB 1602. It is not one of our bills. It is a bill by a Assemblymember Patterson. It was a bill that one of the roadside rest vendors, just to show you how individuals can affect things, he went to his own assemblyman in the Valley, a Republican in the Central Valley, said, "We got this problem. You know, people are getting put out of business because they have to pay utilities instead of Caltrans paying for the utilities at roadside rest stops where blind vendors have these vending machines at roadside rests along highways." And some member said, "Hey, that sounds great. Let's have Caltrans pay it instead." He introduced a bill. So far, there is no opposition from either party, and it looks like it will sail through. And you know, obviously, they'll have to make sure that the governor goes for it. Again, it's had you know all blindness organizations are working hard for it, and so we hope that it will. Certainly, we hope that it will pass. The third of our imperatives that the Governmental Affairs Committee decided we would tackle is one that Donna and I and Bernice and others have been dealing with and having headaches over. And with Donna, it's literally headaches because she has to try and look at the small font. We have been, and not just us, there have been others in other groups, but we have been beating up the Department of Healthcare Services to provide materials to Medi-Cal recipients for several years, and they're slowly starting to do a little bit here and a little bit there, but nothing in a comprehensive mode at all, and no way to identify the people who really need it so that they know that they can even get it. If indeed they can get it, unfortunately the large print font is a smaller size than it needs to be. But it's if they did get it, it would be better than nothing. But that was another area where we were sort of subverted a little bit, I guess you'd say. We finally decided, look, we need to have our legislators put some pressure on the Department of Healthcare Services to really work on this issue, because this is, you know, Medi-Cal is the second biggest budgetary program in this state to education. And it is a mortal sin that the materials for, you know, eligibility and other things, including in-home supportive services, which is funded mostly by Medi-Cal now and is a part of the Medi-Cal program, are not provided in accessible formats. It's a state law, it's a federal law, and yet it's not being done. So we are hoping maybe we can get a little pressure put on the department to step up its activities and really do something comprehensive in this area. The final one was something we didn't even know about until maybe a month ago, and it has really caused a great deal of alarm and concern, and that is that the governor's proposed very innocuously in his budget, because I don't think they knew what they were doing, to funnel some money away from the state to the local school districts. Unfortunately, the money they wanted to funnel away is the money that sets up this unit in the Department of Education to produce Braille and large print books. So, well, what's the problem with that? Maybe the school districts can do it themselves, or maybe they can pay a fee to the state to do it. Well, that's all easily said, but it isn't easily done. For example, the state currently has this big warehouse full of Braille and large print books. And whenever the districts don't want them anymore, they mail them back, and then they send them out to a new school district to use them. So what would happen to that warehouse if the money was funneled away? It would just sit there, and no one would ever send a book out of there or put a new one in there when they got mailed back. Then, of course, we have the fact that the state knows how to bid at cost for bulk purchasing to get the best prices for Braille and large print books, and they also know who to go to get specialized transcription services for science, math, foreign language type books that I don't think any of us could do very well in this room. But they know the folks who can do it. So many times they're out-of-state folks, and sometimes they're very small transcribers in the state that specialize in a certain area. Are the school districts going to know that? Is maybe LA Unified is. Well, maybe they wouldn't. But certainly, Glenn County isn't, or Modoc or whatever. How are they going to know how to get these books done for their one student? So Donna and I began, somebody had to take on, the Department of Education said we oppose this, but I have to say they haven't really done too much to, fight to make their opposition heard very well. So somebody had to do it. And, we decided we had to be the ones to take this on if nobody else was going to do it. And we did. Donna and I started with the Assembly Budget Committee, met with several other folks and communicated with others. Ralph Black, who represents another entity but is also a CCB member, and I met with the governor's office. And then at Capitol Day, a number of us went around to various representatives. And we have gotten, I think, a lot of traction. Even the governor's office was like, well, we just thought we were putting some money into the school's hands. We didn't know we were doing anything. So hopefully, and you never can tell because sometimes they say nice things and they don't do them. But hopefully they really will start to understand that they're creating a monster and a disaster for blind and low vision students who will probably not get their books in a timely manner, and who will probably get crummy, poor quality books as well. So we're trying to solve that situation. And if you have chances to talk to your local legislators, assembly members and senators, keep the pressure on. It's going to be part of the budget battle. We hope that the governor will back off, but, once the train starts rolling, it takes some real push to stop the train, as they say. So we want to get that train back into the station before a disaster strikes, because what's really going to – it will be bad enough this year when the lending warehouse goes away. But when the Common Core standards kick in a year or two and they have to start buying all these new books, oh boy, we're going to have an absolute disaster. So let me talk about two pieces of legislation, and then quickly I want to talk about some resolutions from last year. We have two pieces of federal legislation that the American Council of Blind is working on, H.R. 3749, something which the immediate past president of the American Council of the Blind and one of our past presidents, who's probably somewhere out in the audience there, was a real, who's retired now, I understand, who's retired from everything, he says. Now, Mitch was really one of the movers and shakers behind getting this going. We want to establish a 5-year pilot Medicare program to give a chance for low vision aids costing more than $500 to be placed into the hands of Medicare recipients who need them. To see, yes, isn't that great? That is great. And it's getting some traction already. Its chances of passing this year are probably not great, just because the chances of Congress doing anything this year are probably not great. But you gotta start it, and you gotta keep pushing, and eventually, you work through it. And this is the sort of thing I think that a lot of our local providers, whether it's the Lighthouse or the Society for the Blind or, other places that have low vision clinics should be supporting, because it's money in their pockets. So, and we do, of course, we're working with a lot of other entities like American Foundation for the Blind on this bill and a lot of other provider organizations. The other one is H.R. 40. Let me just finish. I'll try to be really quick, and you can. Let me just finish. H.R. 4040 is called the Alice Cogswell and Sullivan Macy Act. It is a comprehensive bill on education of blind children. It's probably a work in progress because it is going to take a while to educate those on the Hill to the needs that our population has. but every opportunity we have to fight for it, we absolutely can. Okay, let me quickly, because I do want to save time for one or two questions if I can, quickly go through these resolutions, because Sunday I know will be crowded. Okay, from last year, resolution A2 was on cycle tracks, and those are these things they want to, lanes they want to put where the bikes go between the parked cars and the curb, and you know you might get hit by a bike or whatever. And we, Donna and Gene and I, have had some discussions with the bicycle community, at least educating them a little bit to our concerns. A bill did not get passed, at least on this, which was something. It's still something that a large segment of the bicycle community loves and is fighting for. And it's ongoing, but we at least have had discussions. A3, this is on the puppy raising and training practices, concerns we have of for guide dogs for the blinds, puppy raising and training practices. I don't have too much comments on that. That's probably something really for GDUC to work on more than our, you know, governmental affairs committee. So we might want to ask those folks what if anything has happened. Number five of A5 was on PDF documents to make the default setting, to make the accessible setting as the default. And Donna worked directly with Adobe on this, and they were analyzing it and looking into the problem. I don't think they've officially changed their position yet, but she certainly educated them, and they did acknowledge there was an issue. Don, do you have anything more than that, or is that about where we...
Also forwarded.
Oh, yes, that's right.
Go ahead. ECB.
Yes, we did. We forwarded it to ACB, who did adopt something on that, I think. Thank you. The sixth one was one that somehow I failed to implement, and when I realized that, I'm pretty embarrassed. It's to inform the Judicial Council of our failure to provide jury of the failure of certain county courts to provide jury accommodations. And so we are going to make sure that gets done by the end of the month. I will make sure a letter gets drafted. I can't believe it slipped through, but it did, and I apologize on that. B1. B2 is the first one. I take that back. B1. B1 is on the guide dog board. And various issues we want handled by the guide dog board. The resolution was sent to them. They've had a change in executive directors, but not too much has happened yet. But one of the issues we're going to have to sort of inaugurate next year, and that is, I think we're going to have to maybe I'll work with Mitch on it. Even if you're retired, we want to draft. We're going to have to draft a bill to increase the number of guide dog users on the board, which will require state legislation. So I think we'll work on that's something we have to work on for next year. B2 is our IHSS reader services resolution, which we know about because we have our bill. B3 is a very long-term resolution that we have a lot of work to do on transferring the oversight of procurement from the Department of General Services to the Department of Rehabilitation for procuring goods and services for rehab clients, and that's just going to take a lot of work. That's nothing we can deal with in the short term. B5 is a resolution urging may be kind of mild, more business enterprise locations. Because we think the department and even the legislature has done an extremely poor job since we've lost about two-thirds of our locations. We don't yet have an answer back from the department on anything they're going to do in that one. So we're going to have to press them because we have submitted it to them.
And Mr. Chair, we're also this coming week resubmitting it because our our new director, if folks haven't seen that announcement, the new director of rehab is Joe Xavier. So we will be resubmitting it to him in his new capacity as our director.
Okay. And the final resolution.
He already knows it's coming.
He should, because I think he knew yeah, we sent it before. The final one from last year was the creation of a another GDUC entity, which of course gave us serious concerns, and we sent in letters to the appropriate entities and made appropriate notifications, and as of this time, there's no further word on that.
We now have another contact that that has received, resubmitted the resolution to, hopefully directly within the governor's office. And again, I have informed our new director that he will be receiving that again as well. So he knows that is coming, and we've already had discussions on it.
Okay, and now do we have time for Bernice's comment? Because she did want to make one on, I think it was Bernice.
Yes.
Because I am done.
Okay, thank you, Jeff. I want people to know that HR 37, I called Eric Bridges, 3749, sorry. I called Eric Bridges a few days ago. There are only three co-sponsors on this bill, and we need to get busy and push on this. We have drafted a resolution, which you now have, and I'm trying to rally the troops in the CCCLV organization to contact all of their legislators. But anybody else that's not a member of CCCLV, we would welcome your help, and we need to push hard on this so that we can get it through.
Thank you, Bernice.
Yeah,
in fact, I would also say we're actually trying to do a little behind-the-scenes work with someone we don't normally work with, Senator Feinstein's office. And
oh.
So if anybody has a connection to Senator Feinstein on this, that would really be helpful, because
yes,
it cannot hurt one bit to have something happen if we can do it.
Yeah.
So that's that.
And if anybody wants a copy of our resolution or any more background information about the bill, let me know. We'll get it to you. Yeah, Jane, we're going to need to call on you, because Mike Thompson is one of the people on the committee. Pardon?
I'm done, Gene. It's up to you.
So,
it's back to you.
I don't know for sure.
Overtime. I don't know.
What is that bill to? I'll get it. Hold on to that.
Oh. Gene has a habit of making American River with water. We had water up here. Poor Gene.
Jeff did it this morning.
Gene said.
Yes, I did it yesterday.
I guess they take
yesterday
turns.
I did it. We are in River City, you know. So, you know, it's...
So is that the end of your report, Jeff? Okay.